Prosoro is still the king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it an excellent defender of grain quality and yield, and the enemy of both head and leaf diseases. When your goal is better grain quality and even higher yields, use Prosoro fungicide at its recommended high rate of 8.2 fluid ounces per acre, and the crown of higher profit could be yours. Learn more at Prosoro.us. Check with your state pesticide regulatory agency for specific restrictions in your state. Always read and follow pesticide label directions.
Welcome back to Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio. Well, for the last 2 months, the world has been kind of thrown upside down. We've gotten one challenge after another. For the last 2 years, agriculture has had one challenge after another. And just when we thought it couldn't get any more discouraging or confusing, here comes the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco, a launching pad for a lot of legislation that is litigious against agriculture. And last night, a federal appeals court ruled dicamba herbicide is illegal to use. And then 3 minutes later, the judges issued another ruling saying, oh, by the way, it's effective immediately. So the question is, now what? Andrew Thostenson, NDSU Extension Pesticide Program Specialist, do you have any answers for us, or are you just as scratching your head too?
I'm scratching my head quite a bit. I still have hair up there. That's a good sign. This is kind of an insoluble problem. Typically, what a court does when they're going to invalidate a pesticide or place some kind of major prohibition on it, they say to EPA, okay, you have 60 days to pull this off the market, or you have 90 days, or you have to respond to the court with how you're going to deal with this. And they usually give EPA some time to be able to assess the situation and take whatever appropriate appeals or legal action that EPA wants to do. Well, the court decided that they weren't going to do that this time because they felt that the problems associated with dicamba were just too great, and they wanted it stopped now. And so this has caused a real uproar, especially in the regulatory community, because nobody really knows exactly what to make of it. Now, the American Association of Pesticide Control Officials, which is responsible for all state departments of agriculture across the country who enforce pesticide laws, formally asked for a statement from EPA on how they wanted to handle this moving forward. And the response is, we'll get back to you, we're working on it. So I would be surprised if it didn't take more than a couple days for us to get some clarity. And frankly, it could be good news or it could be really horrible news. And I really don't want to prejudge either option.
Yeah, considering the way the world is now, I mean, what next? Well, we've found out the next thing, and the next thing, yeah, like you said, could be worse. Now, these three judges are not farmers, so they do not understand the fact that there are millions of acres of dicamba-tolerant soybeans and cotton planted out there that now... Extendamax, Ingenia, and Fexapan, and they forgot that Syngenta's got one too. Or what do you read into that?
Okay, well, let's start with the easy one first. Tavium, which was a Syngenta product, did not get into the lawsuit because it didn't get registration until after the lawsuit was filed. So there's no mention of that at all in the lawsuit. And I've put calls out to Syngenta to make sure that either their product is covered under the ruling or not. And the reason why I'm curious about whether it's covered is they may well have used some of the registration decisions for the other three to support their registration. So I think we'll get some clarity from Syngenta on that very soon.
Okay. But, in the meantime, I hope they have enough. If they're not, they might have an... They need to have enough product for everybody to use.
Yeah, it would be very problematic. I doubt very much that Syngenta would have that much material in the pipeline, but it's hard to know these things.
Right.
Now, the other question you had was, don't these judges understand that there are millions and millions of acres out there that have this stuff planted, and presumably they're all going to be treated? And this is a kicker, Mick. The judge says, we realize fully how disruptive this will be to farmers, but to allow this to continue would cause so much damage to the environment that it's just, farmers are just going to have to suck it up. And I'm paraphrasing that, but essentially that's what they've said. And so they know full well the damage that they're causing out there in terms of the agriculture community and the plans of farmers and custom applicators and seed suppliers are in right now. It's just, you can't write a script to be more problematic than what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah. Just about an hour or so ago, Bayer issued a statement saying they adamantly oppose their decision and they will fight to, you know, yada, yada, yada. But the litigation, the litigious, is all against the Environmental Protection Agency. That's where the accountability is. So now how EPA responds is the next step, right?
Yeah, it's really up to EPA. Bayer and Corteva and BASF really can't take any action on their own because the litigation was directed at EPA. Now, Bayer and Corteva and BASF were supporting EPA in their defending their positions in front of this appeals court, but they can't take a leadership role on this. This is EPA's call, and then I assume that the registrants will follow in line with whatever EPA decides to do.
I would assume that farmers have purchased product. They do have some, they planted their dicamba tolerant beans and they've got some dicamba in the shed. And who's the spray police out there? Who's going to come out and charge all these farmers if they want to go ahead and control the weed problem with some of these three products?
Well, that's a really excellent question, Mick. And the answers to that are not very good. First off, the power to enforce these sorts of decisions is on the shoulders of the departments of agriculture in every one of the states across the country. EPA grants that authority through cooperative agreements. So presumably in North Dakota, it'll be the North Dakota Department of Ag, and Minnesota will be the Minnesota Department of Ag. And at least at some point, they're going to have to decide how they are going to enforce this this provision.
And or not.
Or
I
not.
Guess they have to, huh? Yeah.
Well, see, that's the problem. It's, you can't, when you have a cooperative agreement, you can't just say, well, we'll enforce these, but we won't enforce those rules, because if that happens, then EPA can revoke your cooperative agreement and you no longer have the authority to enforce your own state laws, that the feds can take that over, even though they don't want to. But so, man, it is a hugely problematic thing. But I can tell you that until the Department of Agriculture and all three states here around your listening area get some clarity from EPA, I just can't see them taking any kind of, you know, significant action towards anybody right now.
Yeah, but I guess the glass is half full observation I have is that June 20th or the end of June is, it's not very far away already, or 45 days after planting for the guys that maybe planted some soybeans in end of April or early May, that's here almost now.
Well, we're getting down to it on the 20th in Minnesota and the 30th here in the Dakotas. So, You know, plus we did have a late planting season, but you know, thankfully we've had some pretty good days here, and the ground has dried up in a lot of areas. So we made some pretty good progress in terms of planting, but still, this is a hugely problematic situation, especially with people who were counting on this technology as their frontline weed control tool. Those people who used Prees and had got them down relatively early and had some success with getting sufficient moisture to activate them are certainly in a much better position than those people who didn't put those things down. And then there are some people that have put some of the pre-herbicides down. And, of course, you've noticed that we've been in a pretty dry phase here recently. So they're really anxious because the chemical is just basically sitting there on top of the ground and it hasn't activated yet. So a lot of anxiousness out there. Joe Eichley, our weed scientist, is putting together kind of a, you know, what to do without dicamba article here this afternoon, and that should be released in the morning for sure. So at least people will know what their options are. They're probably not any ones that they want, but it's something.
Yeah. All right. Well, the news release out of the North Dakota Ag Department says, sadly, the continued use of dicamba depends on the outcome of the request for an emergency stay, which could sadly take weeks or months. In the meantime, it is not legal to use dicamba, the three dicamba products, Xtendimax, Fexapan, and Engenia, in over-the-top applications on soybeans, and, of course, no cotton grown around here. But, all righty, like you said, Andrew, just upsetting and unbelievable almost. So,
well, it's unbelievable and unprecedented, really.
Yeah, another one of these things in our world of 2020 when we thought that 2019 couldn't get any worse. Here's 2020. So, well, Andrew, Indeed. Thank you so much for the visit.
All right. Take care. We'll probably talk again.
We sure will. Thank you very much.